Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast as we talk Midwestern State Soccer with Michael Meacham. Midwestern State will be home on Wednesday night. That'll be part of a doubleheader at Stain Park. The women will kick things off at 4:30 when they play West Texas, and then the men are hosting UT Tyler for a 7 o'clock game. The men, last time they were home, kind of broke our heart. Played St. Edward's last Wednesday, and the Hilltoppers scored with 6 seconds left to win that game 2-1. But then you guys bounce back and go down to Laredo and kind of wipe out the Dust Devils 5-1. So let's just talk about kind of the emotional roller coaster that the team's been on. What was it like after the game on Wednesday when you concede that goal with 6 seconds to play?
I mean, obviously disappointing, but I mean, I think the second half in a whole of our performance probably wasn't as enjoyable as maybe we've all would have wanted it to be anyways. Obviously, you always want a point when it comes to conference or 3 points, but we were in a situation where, you know, if you really, really dive deep into it, you probably got what you deserved with a little bit of the performance that we played in the 45 minutes in the second half, and just kind of got outran a little bit, kind of got outworked, something that just shouldn't happen.
It didn't seem like it was Midwestern State soccer in that second half. You didn't seem very aggressive.
No, we kind of lost tempo of some sort in the games. Kind of that fire that you'd expect to have against a good opponent at home to start conference. So a little disappointing.
Do you have any explanation for why something like that happens?
No, obviously they are still just kids, and they kind of have their highs and highs, and they have their lows. You just try to coach them through it and handle each individual moments and things like that. And, you know, then once St. Ed's kind of scored, you know, the game got really, really stretched at times, which probably isn't good for either team, as you probably saw on some of the shot counts and some of the chances both teams gave up. But obviously I think they probably created better of the chances in that day.
You got outshot, I think, in the second half of that game, 15-5.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
been the other way around, basically, in Midwestern State men's games.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad day to have a bad day, and it was really a bad day to have a bad half, and it kind of came back, and it kind of bit us in the butt a little bit. And I mean, I give him credit. I mean, there's a minute left in the game, and we're trying to win it. I mean, we're putting numbers forward. We're putting numbers in the box. We're still trying to create chances. We're still trying to make things happen.
And had some chances.
Yeah, and I mean, and they did too, and fair play to them. I think we just made, in those last few seconds, we just made kind of some individual and some collective errors that just kind of imploded on us there.
I guess it kind of surprised me and probably some other fans, because it looked like in Frisco, at least based on results from Frisco, that you guys had kind of found yourself.
I mean, you're playing two pretty good opponents, I think, and you're playing in some familiar confines with playing in Frisco. A lot of the guys have grown up playing in that area and that sort of stuff. We played pretty well. But obviously, like I said a few minutes ago, I mean, they're still young and they're still kids, and they have highs and they have lows, and we're just trying to make the lows fewer and further in between.
Well, you rebound nicely going to A&M International, even though you did concede the first goal in that game.
Yeah. The result ended up being really well. We were able to do some pretty good things. The first goal was against the run of play, and they just kind of got it into a bad area, and we didn't defend it very well and didn't have a very good reaction to something. And then they kind of made something out of nothing, which was fair play to them. And then, you know, we kept doing the same type of thing. It wasn't like we tried to change anything. We felt pretty good about how we were playing up to that point, and they kept kind of getting the same reps and kind of getting good areas and things like that, and it paid off for us.
Did you make any changes between St. Ed's and A&M International? I know you didn't make any changes after you gave up the first goal, but were there changes going into that match?
I think the only change, I think Robles started in goal that day. That was the only, out of the 11, that was the only sub that we made.
Rivera scored two goals for you in that game. Mm-hmm. I think Ethan Kirschnack had a goal and an assist.
Yep.
So you had you had some different individuals kind of step up for you in terms of goal scoring.
Yeah, and then Parker kind of got one.
And Parker got his seventh of the year, I believe.
And then soon they got one late. Yeah, I mean, I think some guys are kind of getting a little bit more familiar with parts of the field they're getting into and the chances that we're going to be able to create for them and things like that. So
you got the game coming up. You got the game coming up Wednesday. It's 7 o'clock against UT Tyler.
Yep.
First of all, it'd be nice to be home on a Wednesday night. That's a pretty good environment you've got at Stanley Park.
Yeah, the supporters and the university have done really, really well for us and gotten us some really good atmospheres to play in, and I hope we can do that tomorrow night.
What can you tell us about UT Tyler? This is a team that in the last couple of years, you've beaten them. You've played a couple of one-goal games.
They've been some extremely good games. I mean, they've got some great, great players and some good individuals and things like that. They're still trying to work on themselves collectively just like the rest of us are, and Kenny does a great job with them out there, and they're going to be they'll be very motivated to play, and it'll be an intense game. So I'm hoping we can be on the right side of it and get a good taste in our mouth at home.
There's kind of an instinct to say that you've handled them because you've not lost to them. You're 7-0-0 against UT Tyler, but those games have been tough and tight.
No, they've been all really, really good games. Some of those results, when maybe they were more than a goal, they came extremely late when they were kind of pushing for an equalizer or something like that. We were able to kind of get the third, but for the most part, they've all been really, really well. Even the very first time we played them, I mean, I think both goals we scored late were like in the 60th and 80th minute or something. So, Kenny does a great job out there, and they'll be motivated. And you know, unfortunately for them, they don't have any points in the conference yet, so they're trying to get 3 points as well.
And they're playing Midwestern State, and Midwestern State's got a target on their back.
Yeah, we like it. We like the opportunity that every team gives us, and the chance to kind of get their best and kind of show us what our best can be, and things like that. So yeah, we're excited for it.
Do you think you found the combination you're looking for, or in terms of who your best 11 are? I guess is my question.
It's odd that you say that. I mean, I feel that we have a really, really good rotation right now of players that have kind of found a home in certain areas of the field and certain positions and things like that. So yeah, I mean, I feel good that we found some good rotations and some good combinations and things like that.
Yeah, and it's probably not fair for me to say best 11 because you're playing. I think the other day you had 9 substitutions in the first half.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying about like some rotations and some combinations and things that we feel really, really good about. And I feel like our depth is really starting to kind of find its own and really kind of find its feet and that sort of stuff. And I think that we can kind of look to kind of have the same patterns and things like that moving forward.
You think it gives you an advantage over most opponents? You think you're deeper than most of the teams you play?
Yeah, I think that we've got some really, really good depth and some things like that. I mean, there's other teams that we play that only sub, you know, maybe 2 or 3 times where we're subbing, you know, multiple guys and different positions and different areas that I think we can do some, like I said, cause some damage.
Does the team change as you make those substitutions? And by that, I mean the style of player.
No, I mean, it's pretty much a like-for-like sub.
It's just,
for the most part, I mean, some of them are slightly different, and they bring some other qualities and some other attributes to that individual position and what we're kind of asking for it. But for the most part, it's pretty much a like-for-like.
I know I've been asking you this on every podcast, but I'm really intrigued by how this goalkeeping situation is working for you. Because it almost reminds me when I cover gridiron football, and they'll say, "Well, if you have 2 quarterbacks, you really don't have one."
Yeah,
and you told me at the start you've got 3 keepers, and you feel like they could all start for any team in the Lone Star Conference.
I do. I mean, I think, like I said from the very beginning, I think we've got some really, really good goalkeepers in the conference, and even in the region, and things like that. And I feel really, really blessed to have the 4 that we have right now. And right now, Jake and Robles have really kind of stepped up a little bit and kind of earning what they're getting, and then we're looking forward to Connor and Macias to keep pushing and seeing what they can make happen for them individually as well.
So, how are you going about making the decision who's playing on a particular night? Because you switched, you mentioned
opponent,
earlier.
Opponent to opponent.
What makes one keeper better against one opponent? Is it?
There are individual attributes that they have, like some.
Like I know Danny's good with his feet.
Yeah, Robles is good with his feet. Danny's good with his feet. Connor and Jake are extremely, extremely athletic, and they're quick off their line, and they're able to kind of make some decisions a little bit different than – they see the game differently than Macias and Robles do. So it's the way that we need to be – the way that that game is seen, it really kind of gears toward one goalkeeper or another.
And I think – and I could be wrong about this, but I think when you've played a keeper, they've played the full 90 minutes. I don't think you've made an end
Jake,
game.
Jake came in late at Laredo just because Robles got he felt a little funny in kind of the last few minutes of the game, so Jake came in. But other than that, they played the full 90. I'm not a big guy of subbing 45 minutes or anything like that.
Yeah. So, for lack of a better term, once you've made the call on who's going to start, you're pretty much married to that.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be something.
It's something
detrimental.
In this case, it was not an illness or an injury, but
just a little tweak here or there that would make me make any kind of decisions goalkeeper-wise.
Well, before we talk again, you'll be on the road at Eagle Soccer Field to play Oklahoma Christian, and just a couple of years I've been covering you regularly, that's always been a spirited match.
Yeah, that's an extremely hard place to play, and I don't know if a lot of people kind of know that or have been up there and stuff like that, but the crowd's good. The climate can be a little bit different. The weather can be a little different. And then obviously it's a good team. So yeah, that's a tough place to play. And we're going to have to be on our best.
And they really, you bring out the fire in them. I mean, when
like
I've seen Oklahoma Christian play Midwestern State, they're playing with a, for lack of a better expression, they're playing a little bit angry.
I think it's a little bit of their personality and stuff like that of the coaches that they've had and where they see themselves right now. I mean, they're right there at the top of the region. I mean, they're in the top 15 in the region right now, and you know they have a tough strength of schedule, and they've had some good results. Now, unfortunately, they've dropped some not so good ones like we have. But yeah, I mean they're looking for everything still in front of them, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, I get the impression that they want to be what Midwestern State is in men's soccer.
Yeah, and we want to kind of have the same fire and desire that they have to win every game, just like when they kind of play us. So I mean we're kind of all in the same a little bit like that.
Well, there's no doubt that Michael Meacham's got that fire and desire, and it'll be on display Wednesday night when UT Tyler is here. That's a 7 o'clock start. Come out early. The women will play at 4:30. You like the doubleheader?
Yeah, it never bothers me. I mean, it was a little bit odd in the past when they kind of did when you could steal extra time or you did added time or
right.
overtime. But now since they've done that, it's
yeah. Now you pretty much know.
It takes the kind of
barring a
what are we going to do?
Barring a lightning delay, we know pretty much when the game's going to start and end.
Yep.
So, all right, hey, Meech, as always, thanks for your time,
you.
Man.
Thank
no,
you
I
guys.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
Look forward to seeing you guys out there on Wednesday.
Yeah, we want a big crowd out there at Staying Park. Thanks for listening to the Staying Gang podcast. I'm Pete Stein. So long.